وما كانت من المخسيات من عندنا شلاكة تكشور النيلي تامين التسمى يشيب لبينا.
So, this is, if you like, a technical discussion on Janmashtami, the festival we just celebrated a few days ago. In one center, devotees were singing a song to Krishna, and I made a statement to one of the devotees there that why are you singing this song? It's not authorized by our acharyas. And she said, well, it's by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I said, no, this is a mirror song. It's not one of our acharya songs. So the song has been well known in ISKCON for a long time, since it was recorded by Jai Sachi Nandana Prabhu, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, way back in the days when hardly anyone made recordings. Now there are hundreds of recordings. But there were just very few at that time, apart from those of Srila Prabhupada. And so it became quite well known throughout ISKCON. The song begins, Mama Mana Mandire, in the temple of my mind. A translation of this was made by, I believe, Dasharath Sutta Prabhu. And in his songbook, he ascribed that to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this was later put in to the Veda base of Srila Prabhupada's writings and other writings. This song was given with a translation and ascribed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. However, it's almost certainly not a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There is an accepted, complete edition of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, which is published from Bagh Bazar, Gauriya Math in Calcutta. I, as well as many other people, have that book. It's in Bengali, so probably none of you can read that. I can read it. So that song is not in there. So it's now many years ago in ISKCON Calcutta, a Bengali devotee was singing that, and I asked him about that, and he said it's a mirror song. Now that may or may not be true, but it seems to be a fairly well known song in Bengal, but it. Exactly that it's by Mirabai, we don't know. I don't know exactly. But it's in that category. In as much as the song goes, Esho, one line goes, Esho, Esho, Nanda Kuma. Come here, Krishna. Now, actually it's a Bengali song, but and Mira wrote in something, what would nowadays be considered a dialect of Hindi. I don't know if she wrote or herself or someone else wrote it down or whatever, but many of her or some of her songs have been translated into Bengali. Calling Krishna, come here, come here. Well, I just like to. I can read the whole song. Actually, much of it is very nice. Krishna. Mama mana mandire roha nishidine. Krishna Murari, Sri Krishna Murari. Sri Krishna Murari, reside day and night in the temple of my heart. Bhakti priti mala chandan tuminio he nio chittananda. Please accept, please take my bhakti, my priti, my devotion, my love, my mala, the garland, flower garland, chandan, sandalwood paste. Take this, O Chittanandan, delighter of the heart. Jivana moron tava puja nivedan sundara he monahari. In life and death, I worship you with these offerings, O beautiful enchanter of the heart. So it's all very nice, no doubt. Esho Nanda Kumara, Ar Nanda Kumara, Habe Prem Pradipe, Arati Tumara. So come here, Nanda Kumara, come here, Krishna, and I will worship you with the lamp of my love. And then what happened to the rest of the translation? We seem to be missing some lines. Anyway, a lot of it is very nice, but there, this particular line is, it's not, come here, Krishna. You got it there? What's the next line? Oh, there's some other. Aha. Nayana Jamuna Jhare, I got it, yeah. Nayana Jamuna Jhare Aniba Toma Birahe Giridhari. So my eyes will be like a Yamuna river of Jara also means like a waterfall. What does it say? Here it says flows, yeah. So my eyes are flowing constantly like a river flowing with tears from out of separation from you. Giridhari, this is particularly Mira used to call, address Krishna as Giridhari. And then Vandana Gane Tava Bajug Jivan Krishna Murari Shri Krishna Murari. So may my life go in praise, it's praying to you and singing to you and in this way worshipping you. So Srila Prabhupada recognized that Mira is a devotee. But this particular mood of calling Krishna, that is not in our Gaurya line, it's actually not appreciated. Because our aim is that, not that we will call Krishna, we will enjoy Krishna. You come here, Krishna, and I will enjoy you. But rather, we wish to serve the servants of those who are bringing Radha and Krishna together. That Radha and Krishna should come together for their enjoyment. Not that it's just like Radharani, there is her supposed rival Chandravali who wants to pull Krishna away so that Chandravali can enjoy Krishna. But Gaurya Vaishnavas, they don't like this. They want to, as I say, serve those who are bringing Radha and Krishna together. Here's some quotes from Srila Prabhupada about this. From the fourth canto, chapter 3, text 23, purport. The devotee never commands, "My dear Lord, please come here so that I can see you." Recognize that? Esho Nanda Kumara Ananda Kumara. It is not the position of the devotee to command the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come before him or to dance before him. There are many so-called devotees who command the Lord to come before them dancing. The Lord, however, is not subject to anyone's command. He's not subject to anyone's command, but if he is satisfied by one's pure devotional activities, he reveals himself. And here's from a conversation, Srila Prabhupada is saying, and this, don't order Bhagavan, just follow Bhagavan. That is wanted. Don't write concocted poetry. That is not beneficial. Simply follow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jari Deko Tari Koha Krishna Upadesh. That is your business, not to give Upadesh to Krishna. Krishna, do this. Nachiye, Nachiye, Aile Gopal. My dear Gopal, please come to me. Nachiye, dancing. And the Gopal is my father's servant. Ordering, Gopal, come. Nachiye, Nachiye, my sense gratification. It's all nonsense. Why should you ask Gopal to come to you? You cannot order. You must follow. To carry out the order of God, not to order God to carry out my order. That is mistake. So we see that whether or not this song is actually written by Mira, there's Srila Prabhupada strongly denounced this idea of ordering God. Come here, you come here. So it's not by one of our acharyas. Regarding Mira, Srila Prabhupada wrote some somewhat praising things. Many years ago, Bhakti Charu Maharaj told me, I never subsequently read it, but he told me that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written about her that she was a sentimentalist. Which we don't want to go on a big campaign against her, but at the same time we should understand that she didn't have, there was no philosophical basis to what she was doing. regarding that being in the Veda base under the name of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Well, there's another song which myself and Vyasaki Prabhu, you may know his name, we had some discussion about this. There's a song which has become quite popular in ISKCON, because it's in the Veda base under the name of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it's actually it's completely a bowel song. It's not, again, it's not in the list of songs by, it's not in the standard authorized collection. That Keno Hare Krishna Nam, the Pakshi of my heart, it's all bowel terms, the whole thing from beginning to end. So, somehow or other it's become advertised as a Bhaktivinoda song, but it isn't. Highly unlikely. Somehow or other someone has described it. In this Acharya Falaya, there's also an English translation of a book called Devadas, which is ascribed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it's also not in the known list of his writings. It's more or less a mundane novel. So we have to be careful, because many things may be ascribed to persons who it's not actually composed by, just like there are so many things Prabhupada said, but there's no record of Prabhupada said. I remember that, well, here's an interesting historical snippet, you can say. There's one god sister of mine who made a paper protesting against why women were stopped giving class. Well, I remember why she was stopped giving class in England. Particularly, because she made a statement in class that Prabhupada had said that after Prabhupada leaves, all his disciples will go back to being hippies, which really, you know, really caused a stir among the devotees. Like, oh, really? You know, we have no hope. We're all doomed. And then the next day, with all this going on, and she'd quoted this, and oh, everyone was disturbed. Then Prabhupada's secretary came in and said, well, I've just been with Prabhupada for the last 3 months. I never heard anything like this. It's just a rumor. It's just something she made up. And then she was banned. She used to give class, but then she was banned from giving class, not because she was a woman, but because she was talking nonsense in the name of Prabhupada. So that's just one instance of how... Things can be ascribed. Well, that wasn't exactly the case of the Prabhupada said this. That wasn't a case of something being ascribed wrongly to someone else. It was just a case of total fabrication. Maybe someone told her that and then she passed it on. So you have to be very careful. I mean, I see even in the Vyasa Puja book, there's so many quotes from Prabhupada of various things, but it may be true or maybe not. You can't really say. That's why you can't really say unless there's, especially if it's a somewhat controversial statement, you can't really quote it unless there's verification of it. That's why Prabhupada, he gave most importance to his books. So, that's that topic. I just wanted to cover that briefly. Be careful. Any question about that? Yeah.
We have many different songs which devotees sing.
We have many different devotees songs which devotees sing.
Radhe Radhe Govinda.
Sham Sham Radhe Radhe. What's that? Yeah.
So, how beneficial or detrimental it can be?
How detrimental or beneficial can they all be? Well, the danger is that we're going to sing something which is not authorized or approved by our acharyas. For instance, there is a popular chant, Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which is only the names of Bhagavan, but it's condemned by our acharyas as being an improper composition. So, well, in Srila Prabhupada's books, he wrote that in our Krishna conscious movement, we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasa Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. He also he says that we should stick to the songs of Narottam Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Lochan Das. That's right in his purports. And of course, in the Vaishnav songbook, he approved some songs also by some other acharyas. But yeah, it shouldn't be just a kind of free for all in which everyone sings whatever they want, whatever comes in your mind, just sing it, or you hear something somewhere and you sing it. In Mayapur, I heard them sing something which they'd taken from the Gaur Nagaris, the upper Sampradaya on the other side of the river, and singing it right there in the temple room. So the point is that Krishna consciousness should be executed under the guidance of acharyas, which means those who know what the previous acharyas have taught and how to apply that. So Prabhupada has given us guidelines, and we should follow that. The GBC actually, a couple of years ago, constituted a Kirtan Standards Committee because it was a committee to give guidelines for Kirtan, because it was perceived that there's all kinds of things being introduced. I'm a member of that committee. However, we made a proposal and somehow the GBC threw it out. But just like this, what's that called? Djembe? It's the way things are going, the mridanga won't be seen in a year or two. Because that gives a beat like a techno rock beat, and people like it. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he likes mridanga. But that doesn't seem to be very important what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes, because we like, in our lower modes of nature, this kind of heavy bass, loud beat. So Krishna consciousness means to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. We should understand this. And the acharyas have shown us the path and told us what to do. And we can change a little bit here and a little bit there, and the only problem is that we won't end up with Krishna consciousness. We'll end up with something else. So better follow the path of the acharyas. Yeah. Anything else on that? Yeah. How about what? I couldn't hear. What's
the
melodies. Well, let's just stick to that basic statement here. Otherwise, we're going to get into, you know, we could go on all night. Melodies. Srila Prabhupada is very strict about the morning melody, which should be sung in Mangal Arati, particularly about that. At other times of the day, he didn't emphasize so much. Evening Arati also. But especially Prabhupada, he would stop the kirtan if people were singing the wrong tune in the morning. Yeah, what's your question?
I have heard that when we perform a kirtan and when there is only one dhamma and only one karata, that they shouldn't break up, but no matter what happens. So,
if there's only one mridanga and one kartal, they shouldn't break up. What do you mean, not break up?
They break up the kirtan. For a basis or something.
Oh, I see.
Except
yeah.
for Tulasi Puja, that they will take their water to.
Well, that's good, that the mridanga and kartal, they can go on.
So they can after.
Then you can afterward put the water on Tulasi. Yeah. That's good, yeah. It's a service to Krishna. Shankha bhaje, ghanta bhaje, bhaje karatal, madhura mridanga bhaje, paramarasa. So these are all the instruments for kirtan. So that's pleasing to Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a service to play these sweetly. Madhur bhaje means playing sweetly. Banging and crashing wasn't what Srila Prabhupada taught us. It may be sometimes, but not as the daily standard. Sometimes the
Maharaj, you mentioned that
that in book like Vyasa Puja, which is actually offerings from
devotees, the Vyasa Puja book. Yeah.
Of Prabhupada. Yeah. So there might be certain facts which might not be
there might be certain facts in there which are quoted, but they might not
have been told.
They might have not been recorded, and they don't appear in the conversations books or the lectures. It may be. But at the same time, especially if it's a controversial subtopic, then we can't accept it as being authorized just if one person says so, because memories can be faulty. And what one remembers can be influenced by one's own biases also.
My question exactly is linked to that, generally everybody who reads such material tries to interpret and understand as per...
That's also there, that whatever we read, we also put it through the filter of our minds.
Yeah. So in that case, what to trust, Maharaj?
What to trust? Don't trust the mind, the conditioned mind. Trust the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
So basically, this should not be considered as a part of Shastra
statements that Srila Prabhupada is said to have made, which cannot be backed up by others. If three or four devotees say that, even if it's not specifically recorded or put in writing at the time of Prabhupada's presence, if three or four devotees say that, then we can accept it as authorized. But if it's just one person, and again, especially if it's some controversial topic, there are so many instances. Just like I here's just an instance from my personal life. Someone was quoting me, they were introducing me at the beginning of the lecture and quoting me that about my pilgrimage book, I had this pilgrimage in Holy India, that I was so devoted to Srila Prabhupada that I'd written that it's only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that I was able to visit all these tirthas. But that's not what I said. I said that Srila Prabhupada himself is more than all the other tirthas. Going to all the tirthas, if one can get shelter at the lotus feet of a great acharya, that's more important than going to all the tirthas. So it's an important difference, but someone heard it differently, remembered it differently, conveyed it differently. So it came out as something. The expression of gratitude to Prabhupada was there, and there's nothing actually wrong in the statement if I had said that, but it wasn't what I said. And what I said was actually a more meaningful statement. Yeah.
I have one remark or
you have a comment. Yeah, please say it.
In many places, there's a song ascribed to Narottam Das Thakur, which is called
Song Ascribed to Narottam.
Gauranga Karuna Koro.
Yeah, there's a similar statement in that song, Gauranga Karuna Koro. There's a similar statement when he says, "You reside in my heart." That's interesting. I noted that also, but I didn't mention it. Yeah, there's a similar statement in a song ascribed to Narottam Das. A similar statement, come and reside in my heart.
So every morning we are singing Naina Hari Gosara Juga Rupa Vasa.
Actually, what is that? I can never work out what that means. It means your various forms.
Juga Rupa Vasa. It means that. Past tense. Juga Rupa Vasa.
Rashi gives a plural. It gives a plural sense. But Jugal means Radha Krishna. The form of the many forms of Radha Krishna. Anyway, but it also in the same song it also says not only that I will see, but it's seva abhilash, it's desiring service. So Shakir Anugata, being this follower of the Sakis.
So that's actually my question. Mm. So Nanda Goswami is like Karpanya Pandika, he says, when will I see your conjugal pastimes?
Yeah.
So is there...
There's a desire to see, yeah, but the... no, naturally a devotee wants to see Krishna, but on the other hand, his desire to... He subjugates that to his desire to serve. So his desire... Just like my own, that statement, that Radharani, she will subjugate her own. If Krishna wants to enjoy some other gopi, then Radharani, giving up her own pleasure, will serve that gopi and beg her, you please unite with Krishna. So it's not that the devotee doesn't experience any happiness or desire to see. That's also, the devotee has a desire, and the desire is also to see Krishna's beautiful form and to smell the fragrance of his body, and but that is included within his seva vritti. It's not in the mood of that I will enjoy, I will make Krishna an object of my enjoyment. Rather it is that being in the proximity of Krishna and seeing Krishna, being with Krishna, I will have the opportunity to serve Krishna. And that also gives pleasure to Krishna. Because Krishna, he wants to give pleasure to his devotees. So if Krishna, that's why the gopis, they'll dress very nicely, because that gives Krishna pleasure. And one gopi may praise another, oh, you're very beautiful. But they, at the core of their consciousness always is how I will serve Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna. I was just reading something, I can't remember. Something about that. Something Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said about this. I can't remember what it is just now. Then? Does that satisfy you?
So it has to be for Krishna's pleasure, supported.
Everything is included within the attitude of service. And even though one may have a desire to see Krishna, but then that is always subordinated to the desire to. If Krishna takes pleasure in my not seeing him, then I'm prepared not to see him. Yeah, please.
I understood the Ratha Yatra to be also the pulling of the.
Pulling, yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pulling Jagannath. He's pulling Krishna to Vrindavan. But that's described in the mood of Radharani. But that's described by the Acharyas, because Radha knows that Krishna can never be fully happy unless he's with her in Vrindavan. Therefore, she pulls him. Again, it's the mood of service to Krishna predominates.
No, but the fact that we as devotees pull the deities, isn't it a symbolical act of pulling Krishna or Radha in our heart?
We could take it like that, yes.
So this is in a way also...
Please, pulling Ratha Yatra means pulling Krishna into our heart. We can pray like that. But our attitude should be not that we simply enjoy him there, but we serve him there. Whereas in this song which we just sung, it's just Krishna, you come, and there's no mention of Radha or anyone else. You come, I will worship you. And you know, there's no mention of anyone else. Just me and Krishna. But the Gaurya Vaishnava is serving Radha and Krishna together, bringing them together and serving them. Oh, so many questions.
Yeah, my question was also about the Ratha Yatra. And also we sing this song to an Aswami Nayana Patagamija.
Jagannatha Swaminayanda Patagami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented about it's in that book that I can't remember exactly what he said, I'm paraphrasing it, but he said other madmen's rantings or something on the platform of Karma Kanda. It depends on the attitude with which one says, may Jagannath be, literally mean be present in the pathway of my eyes. There's also, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj repeatedly quotes Raghunath Das Goswami in his, what's that book, Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, I believe it is. He's saying, when will that Gauranga again be visible to the path of my eyes? So there is the whole mode of separation from Krishna and wanting to see Krishna. But the devotee wanting, the pure devotee wanting to see Krishna, and the mundaner wanting to see Krishna, it's a very different attitude. So it depends who's singing and in what mood that they're singing. Yeah. These are all very high topics here, but ultimately we have to give up sense gratification and offer everything to Krishna. That's the bottom line, as they say. Yeah.
Another question was technical about drums.
Yeah, technical question about drums.
Yeah, I saw a video of Rathayatra with Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Those three devotees with those huge orchestra drums, you know?
Were devotees playing those drums also? Because Prabhupada, he, in one Rathayatra in Australia, he had them have a band. They hired a military band. He said, my Guru Maharaj had done that in a parade, in Sankirtan parade. So, Prabhupada ordered that also. Maybe the devotees picked them up too. That's like a kind of, what do we call it, vaibhav, or an opulence. Like when a big important person comes, the military band comes also. So that can be in Rathayatra. But in our regular kirtans, kartals and mridanga, we shouldn't throw out the mridanga. There may be a case in public kirtan for playing all kinds of things. There may be a case for that. For preaching, we can make all kinds of adjustments. But if we adjust too far, then it's no longer an adjustment. It's a complete change. There's a difference between making an adjustment and a total change. So if in our kirtan we chant so many other things apart from Hare Krishna, and we play so many different instruments, then it's no longer kirtan, is it? Or at least it's not Gaura Vihita Kirtan, the kirtan which is ordained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So adjustment is one thing, but when you make one and another and another and another, then it stops being an adjustment and it's a change. Yes, please.
Regarding the different songs which seem to be unauthorized or not.
Authorized and unauthorized songs?
So sung by one's own spiritual master.
Songs sung one by one's own spiritual master.
I saw the danger for devotees to become critical to one's
danger
own spiritual
of what,
master.
Yeah, danger of devotees become critical to one's own spiritual master because he sings songs, various songs.
You know, like, whatever, somebody says it's unauthorized and you hear it's unauthorized and my guru singing it, and then...
Someone says it's unauthorized and then you see your guru sing it, and what are you supposed to think? In ISKCON we're all supposed to be followers of Srila Prabhupada. And guru in ISKCON means follower of Srila Prabhupada who teaches others to follow as Srila Prabhupada taught us. If the guru does something which we think is not authorized by Srila Prabhupada, the best thing is to ask him for an explanation of what's going on. He may not even know, just like I think until recently when I brought it to the attention of the devotional society that Keno Hare Krishna Nam was being sung by, among others, at least one guru, two gurus I know of in ISKCON. One of them's passed away now, so at least on this earth, he won't be singing it soon. But they may not know. It comes out in a song collection, it says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and how many people are going through in a scholarly way. They just, you can't check everything, I guess. So that's why that brings me to another point which I wanted to make which is maybe going off the point a little bit of this question, but recently on the an email forum which has my name on it and I kind of oversee it, there was a question about heart transplants, that it's often seen that when there is a heart transplant that the person into which the heart is transplanted seems to undergo a change of character. This has been noted in the last 40 years or so since they've been doing heart transplants. I remember the Dr. Barnard or something in South Africa was the first one to do it. It was a big thing in the newspapers when I was a kid. Nowadays it's not so. There have probably been thousands done since then. So there seems to be a change of character. So then the devotee was in the question was implying that what's going on here, that Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddesha Arjuna Tishtati, the Supreme Lord resides in the heart with the jiva. So does that mean when there's a heart transplant, one jiva is transplanted to another? What's going on exactly here? It requires more research. I mean, the person, he may have a change, apparent change of character, but he still identifies himself as the person he was and before his heart transplant, and he still identifies, this is my wife, this is my house, and all this kind of things. He doesn't march into the house of the person who's now dead, whose heart he's just received, and identify himself with that personality. The changes that could, apparent change of personality. Well, I remember, I'd give this personal example, although in our well-intoxicated society, we've all probably seen, it's seen that people under intoxication, they act and they appear to be different persons. I remember what I was going to say, I'll say it, that I used to visit my mother every week or so, who was incarcerated in a institution for, they probably have some more euphemistic term, but it's a mental hospital, that's all. Nut house, or whatever you want to call it. She wasn't that crazy, but she had difficulty functioning in day-to-day life. But I used to go and see her, and she'd be like a different personality each time. Sometimes she'd be, ah! And other times she'd be really down and depressed. And it just depended what drugs they were giving her. It's just like, it seems like they were doing a lottery, and they'd give her different drugs. Maybe they were experimenting or just having fun or who knows what. But they'd give her different drugs, and she'd be like a different person each time. So it may be that, we see that in the conditioned state, that chemicals can very much influence the behavior of a person. So it may be something similar going on with a heart transplant, that the, I don't know enough about, or anything about medical science to comment further than that. But anyway, the point I wanted to make here is that apart from the obviously that I don't know what's going on, I can only make some vague suggestions, that we do need research institutes into many, many areas of Krishna consciousness to give, to present the whole body of knowledge in terms of the knowledge received from Shastra. That just like medical science, it's based on the presumption that modern medical science is based on the presumption that life is a product of matter. So all areas of human knowledge, science, history, cosmology, and they need to be redefined and represented in terms of Krishna consciousness, which means a massive task of research. We have a lot of work to do, a huge amount of work to do in the intellectual area, and we've hardly even started that. So that's a comment that came up from your What was your question? Somehow we got into, oh, what should we do? Well, we need research also on all, just like people may sing something, we may have to find out where that's from. But it's much safer just to stick what Prabhupada gave us, which is to mostly chant Hare Krishna, and then sing the songs which are known to be by our acharyas. I'm supposed to go to Nathdwara, which is the main seat of the Vallabh Sampradaya, Vaishnav Sampradaya. I'm supposed to be going there next month. Supposed to be going means it's pretty much fixed, unless Krishna has some other plan. So I'm planning to sing there with all the devotees a song by Vallabhacharya, the Madhurashtakam. It's a well-known song. And it's very simple Sanskrit, which people who know Hindi, which pretty much all the people going there will know Hindi, they can easily follow it. So it's not within the song specifically authorized by Srila Prabhupada, but on the other hand, it is a song in which there's not really any philosophy. It's just a praise of Krishna's sweetness. Everything about him is sweet. Madhuradipate rakelam madhuram. Everything about him is sweet. So specifically because I'm going there, I'm going to sing that. I've heard it sung by ISKCON devotees previously. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a very nice song. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada did want us to generally stick with our Gauriya line. And even, again, this can be a topic of research, even like Brijbasi's folk songs. I'm personally not, again, there may be different flavors or approaches in Krishna consciousness, but I'm not much in favor of singing them when we have the much more siddhantic or philosophically authorized songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially. Gurus have to give guidance to their disciples. It's not that every guru is going to say the same thing. Some difficulties are going to arise because we are an institution with disciples of different gurus living in the same place. I just read something today in which Gaur Govinda Maharaj was saying, said that Prabhupada told him to initiate because he has to have his own men, otherwise how can he do this project? The Bhuvaneshwar project. So, research it. How gurus, Gauriya gurus in the past have instructed their disciples somewhat differently, and what are the parameters of that? Just like mundane scholars have noted that in Vrindavan, the Gauriya Sampradaya, in the beginning days of the Gauriya Sampradaya, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's passing away, the Gauriya Sampradaya was very much a Sanskrit-based, scholarly-based, Shastric-based, whereas in Bengal it was mostly bhav, just all lots of feelings and emotion. And then Jiva Goswami sent Narottam Shamananda Srinivas with the books to give a philosophical basis. And certain scholars have noted there may have been a tension between the eastern wing and the western wing, so like that. In Orissa, Shamananda went to Orissa and preached, and the Oriya branch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's follows. I mean, there are definitely certain differences in flavor, kirtan style. So, like I said, there's need of much research. And even without research, there's certain, the sampradaya has to go on. We can't stop it all just to research everything. Life has to go on. Yeah, so? Questions came up through here. Krishna consciousness is the ultimate goal of life for all. Who is this Gauradas? Identify yourself. Will one in knowledge see ISKCON Ritvik's... What's an ISKCON Ritvik? What does that mean? As being properly engaged in devotional service, properly progressing on the path of Krishna consciousness. But what is an ISKCON Ritvik? I mean, Ritvik Vad is not in ISKCON. Anyway, I gave a long lecture on this fairly recently in Bangalore. So, in which one point I made is that it's just this Ritvikism question. In one sense, it's largely semantic, because no guru will say. Every guru will say that I'm not qualified to be a guru, and I'm initiating you on behalf of my guru. I'm taking you to my guru. I'm unqualified, but on the order of my guru, I'm doing this. That's all. Properly progressing on the path of Krishna consciousness. But anyway, it's another topic altogether. How many things can you discuss in one night? Properly progressing. Well, yeah. Again, I discussed all that in my lecture. Refer to that. Get it on my website if you like. What else is there? How ISKCON makes sure the temple officials does not abuse the ISKCON funds for personal gain.
And the second one is related.
How come some Mayapur temple official has multi-story buildings while they have no outside income? What on earth has this got to do with the class? It may be a question that... And how am I supposed to know? I'm not God, I don't know. If someone... How do you know he has no outside income? Research! Go and do some research. Set up a detective agency. Corruption? Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm pretty sure there's plenty of corruption in ISKCON. Well, it's difficult to prove. You have to research. Corruption, it's unlikely in ISKCON Munich. It's more likely in India, where the money's flowing in. But, you know, who's gonna research all this? Where there's money, there's corruption. There's Kali. Unless there's Krishna consciousness. Beware. Kanaka Kamani. Gold and women. So yeah, great. If you can, whoever that is, some Santanu Shah, Bengal. If you can change that, but I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's just like in the secular world. You have a revolution and throw out all the corrupt people, and then another set comes in.
Hungry.
Huh?
Hungry.
Yeah, more hungry. So, where there's an institution, there will be the woes of an institution. It's unavoidable. But as far as possible, we should try to root it out. More can be done in this regard, should be done. But, anyway, it's really off the topic. It's not that I don't discuss these topics, but, you know, can't cover everything all at once. Yeah, I admittedly, there's corruption, there's, you know, deviation, there's so many things that there shouldn't be in ISKCON. Probably always will be there. It's not that everyone is corrupt and deviated, but these things are there, no doubt. And in a big worldwide institution, that's going to be there. Is there any... It's unlikely, especially in this Kali Yuga, that there'll ever be any organization, even that which professes the highest ideals, in which there aren't people who are hypocrites. So,
yeah.
Sorry?
No,
she didn't write in Bengali. She's from Rajasthan. Must have been in Rajasthani, whatever Rajasthani is. I mean, Rajasthani is considered a sub-dialect of Hindi, but even within Rajasthani, there are so many sub-dialects also. But more or less, it's considered Hindi, I guess. Just like Ramcharitmanas, they say it's Hindi, but it's not modern Hindi, it's medieval Avadhi. Modern Hindi is that... Kari Boli, Delhi language, and influenced by Punjabi. She came to Vrindavan to meet Jiva Goswami and he refused to see her. Prabhupada didn't accept that story. He said that a Gauriya sannyasi would not refuse to see a woman just on the basis that she's a woman. Prabhupada didn't accept that, even though it's widely accepted as fact. But Prabhupada didn't accept that. There's some story, something like he refused to see her, and then she said, "Why do you distinguish everyone in Vrindavan is female?" And then he saw her. He accepted that she had a better philosophical understanding, something like that. Unlikely. Jiva Goswami, who's the Tattva Acharya, or the one who's given the rigid or systematic understanding of Krishna consciousness based on Srimad Bhagavatam, and that he's going to be flawed by someone else. Yeah.
I just heard this story, not about Jiva Goswami, about Rupa Goswami.
About Rupa Goswami,
yeah. Prabhupada himself told a story, and he's laughing. He's telling this.
It may be, Prabhupada said Rupa Goswami.
Prabhupada was telling the story regarding Rupa Goswami exactly, that Mirabai came.
Mirabai and Rupa Goswami, whatever it may be. Maybe I got it wrong just now. What's the folk story? I don't know. Maybe some say Rupa, some say Jiva. It may be, people may get mixed up. I just recently saw in a book by one of my disciples, it's not published yet. Sorry, not by disciples. Godbrother, senior godbrother. He was saying that Rupa Goswami he spoke with the Brijbasis and he interacted with them so kindly that they all loved him, but that description is particularly Sanatan Goswami. Get mixed up also. It's not an important point. Yeah, then.
Does it mean that we should not read Mira's bhajan?
Not read Mira bhajan? The thing is, like I say, Prabhupada didn't go on a big preaching campaign about it. Prabhupada was also not very much in favor of Ramcharitmanas, but seeing the wide popularity of it, he didn't go on a big campaign against it. But for our spiritual advancement, it will definitely be more valuable to read Prabhupada's books and sing Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs. Otherwise, there are so many. There's Mira, there's Suradas, there's so many Vaishnava poets. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs, has given the whole... the whole spectrum of Krishna consciousness. Just in that collection of Sharanagati, he takes us right from the most wretched fallen position up to being a gopi in Vrindavan. So, it's more... You see, most of the songs of the Vaishnavas, including the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they're actually written by devotees who are expressing their own emotion toward Krishna. But then it's not very helpful for devotees who have yet to come to that level. Whereas the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially, and Narottam Das, they are written to help aspiring devotees to come up to that level. So we can sing just like, you know, I long to see Krishna dancing in the groves of Vrindavan, but we don't. We're just singing it. So we can sing that and appreciate the feelings of the great devotees and aspire to come to that level. But for our day-to-day advancement, it's much more pertinent to accept that we are conditioned souls with material desires who are trying to be Krishna conscious and sing songs that are more appropriate to our actual level. Yeah.
When a devotee serves Krishna, he is feeling enjoyment.
When a devotee serves Krishna, he feels enjoyment.
And
yes.
Isn't consider what a devotee is enjoying Krishna?
Sorry?
Isn't mean what devotee is enjoying Krishna?
Is a devotee enjoying Krishna? We just discussed that to some extent. devotional service is blissful. Devotional service is under the maya, what is that? Mahatmanastu Mahampata, Daiving Prakriti Mahashrita. Devotional service is conducted under the supervision of Radharani, who is the she gives bliss to Krishna, and she is the personification, the Ladini Shakti, the bliss potency of Krishna. So Krishna is blissful, and service to Krishna is blissful, and those who engage in Krishna's service are blissful, but that bliss arises from serving Krishna. And as soon as the motive of wanting to enjoy Krishna comes in, then it's no longer devotional service. So devotees do not, they become blissful by serving Krishna, or they are blissful by serving Krishna, but that they are subordinate enjoyers, or rather they're not really enjoyer. There's the again, Purush, Prakriti. Krishna is the enjoyer and all others are enjoyed, but the Prabhupada gave the example, just like the man and woman enjoy, they engage in sex, and the man enjoys, the woman is enjoyed, but she also enjoys in the process of giving enjoyment. So yes, the devotee enjoys, but as a by giving enjoyment to Krishna, he enjoys. But if he tries to take the position of the enjoyer, then I will enjoy Krishna, then it's no longer bhakti. Devotees want to see Krishna. So there was a point I was just trying to remember, now I remember. In Krishna Leela, the cowherd boys told Krishna, there's a beautiful smell coming from the forests of Talavan. We want to eat those fruits, Krishna, but let's go there, there's some demons there who are stopping us eating. So, it may seem the cowherd boys were interested in their sense gratification and they wanted to engage Krishna to facilitate their sense gratification. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that actually they're thinking there's such nice fruit, and only these demons are there enjoying. Actually, Krishna should enjoy. But if we say, Krishna, you should enjoy that fruit, then Krishna wouldn't be very much interested. Mm-hmm. But if Krishna thought that my devotee wants to enjoy the fruit, then he'll make the necessary arrangement. So actually they were interested in Krishna enjoying, not themselves enjoying, but they expressed it in that way.